Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everybody, for the day after the SCC meeting, which was hilarious.
Republican Party
State Central Committee.
Right.
And we'll have Dave Williams on about that.
The right to steal the party, basically, successfully.
Successfully stealing a dead corpse. But you know, maybe they can have cadaver or whatever. But before that, this is the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden, brought to you by?
The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, HappyTrees.co, and Denver Cenogenics, and Dr. Julie McCallan. Also today, in a second here, as soon as James gets him on the phone, or Thomas, he's James, as soon as Thomas gets James on the phone, we're going to be talking to James Herson. He's an author, commentator, writes for Newsmax, which you may have heard has been canceled by DirecTV. D-Platform, OANN was last. We have a soundbite from Lauren Boebert talking about that, too. Also, I'm beginning to feel sorry for Joe Biden on this whole FBI thing, right? We'll talk about that. The FBI searched his home this morning. Somebody leaked it to the media. So we'll talk about that as well.
Well, we've got James on the line, line three, James Herson, Herson from Newsmax. Welcome to the program.
Oh, it's great to be with you. How are you?
We're good. Good, thank you. So we'll play the soundbite. I don't know if you know, Lauren Boebert was talking about Newsmax and you guys today on the floor. But basically, you know, you're a commentator. We've had you on your show before. You write for Newsmax. Just not going to be able to see you anymore on DirecTV, huh?
Nope. You know, I've been associated with Newsmax for 25 years.
Wow.
I've written for their magazine. I appeared on the TV thing. And it's just, you know, this is a watershed moment. It's beyond, you know, I have a personal bias because I'm friends with Chris and I know the place, Chris Ruddy. But this is the fourth largest cable news outfit in the country, and it comes on the heels of DirecTV censoring OAN, and it's and we know it's all part of a pattern. I think we have to look at it through the lens of what Elon Musk has graciously allowed us to see in the Twitter files, and that is that we have evidence of collusion between party officials, government officials, and high-tech corporations in order to censor speech, but only on one side of the aisle.
Right.
And the important thing to realize is DirecTV has 22, not just liberal, you know, far left networks with minuscule audiences, and many of whom, like a good example is Vice Media, which is subsidized by an affiliate of DirecTV, one of their owners, and, you know, advocates left-wing violence, is a fan of BLM and Antifa, and they keep those on, you know, so this is, it's clear that this, it violates the spirit of free expression that is an American value. It violates the First Amendment if, in fact, government has colluded, and I think we're going to see evidence that they have. Yes. And it's doing a disservice at a key time. Obviously, everybody knows presidential election campaigns are starting. The primaries are starting. Right. Yeah. And if there's anything that triggers the left, it's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And Newsmax, along with a few other outlets, have continued to air Trump rallies, Trump speeches, you know.
Right.
And so this is all, you know, I think part of the motive is to get Trump deplatformed. And so Newsmax suffers from bringing, you know, a little broader array of facts to its audience.
Well, and there's several things I want to point out because, you know, we're here in Colorado, in Denver, where we can't watch the Nuggets or the Avalanche, two professional teams, because they're in a contract and fee dispute with Comcast. But that's not what's going on here, right? This has nothing to do with fees, nothing to do with any of that. This is just DirecTV just taking them off because of the content, right?
No, absolutely. It's they used fee. You know, in other words, in the cable business, they're always negotiating the fees that are paid to individual networks. It's a constant. And Newsmax's fees are very low compared to its audience. So DirecTV used that as an excuse. But in fact, here's, you know, we know DirecTV is owned by AT&T. They're executives of AT&T that have prohibited employees from giving, at least reportedly have stopped them from giving campaign contributions in one direction as opposed to the other. But here's what's real important. I put it in an article on Newsmax. There's an entity that most people haven't heard of called TPG.
Right.
And TPG is a hedge fund. And I guess we put them in the same category. They're a global hedge fund that buys and invests in businesses to the tune of tens of billions of dollars, similar to BlackRock.
Yes.
And TPG fully brags and boasts about embracing ESG. And we know what ESG is. It's basically corporate
social governance.
Wokeness.
Yes. Yes.
And it's a measuring stick. In other words, what has happened to America in the corporate world while we weren't looking is that people, like the people that run BlackRock, Vanguard, companies like TPG, have imposed a wokeness measuring stick. Right. And they essentially tell companies, well, you know, if you want us to continue to invest in your company, meaning buy the stock and cause the stock price to either be stable or go up, then you're going to have to embrace wokeness. And that's why we've seen America change. We've seen, you know, the NBA change, the NFL.
Right.
Virtually almost every Fortune 500 company, but this is no exception.
Well, and
but
it's
the
extortion.
Problem is, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, let me, and here's the thing, too, that I think is really dangerous about this, because I suspect this is, so let's say you're another company, let's say you're Fox, or let's say you're whatever, right? And this is a signal to you, I think, from the people at DirecTV and this TPG, that, hey, you guys want to play Donald Trump? We'll deplatform you, too.
They don't need to send that message. The Murdochs already have
what I'm saying, though, what it does is, it said, for instance, we saw Ed Fox is changing, and we've seen Fox, you know, Dominion starts rattling its lawsuit saber and they back off on that. I mean, they threaten to deplatform them and they make a lot. I mean, obviously it would be very harmful to another cable station if they deplatform them. But I think that's what they're sending a message
helps
to,
Fox.
Right?
That's the only competition Fox has.
Well, yeah.
Is
no, that's true. Fox is happy about this, but Julie's making a great point, and that is this is not going to stop.
Right.
This is something, it's meant to chill. It's meant to get people to think before they indulge in certain political speech, and especially if it has to do with exposing the country to Donald Trump's rallies and speeches.
Yeah.
And it's the reason I say it's not going to stop is that there's a whole host of other types of, you know, podcasts and streaming television that are using other outlets and are using other types of typically internet-oriented companies. And any one of those could turn and start not only censoring Newsmax, but censoring, you know, a whole host of
right-leaning,
you know, like a Real America's Voice, for example, which is also, you know, well-watched because of Steve Bannon. They could start deplatforming them, much like they did with Parler. So we have to nip this in the bud, and that's why I'm very gratified. You mentioned Lauren Boebert. I really, it's like a congressional who's who that has stood up. And even Ron DeSantis recently made a statement. I think the idea that Congress has to investigate this, you know, I mentioned the TPG situation, but also there were, before DirecTV knocked OAN off, there were these letters written by Democrat office holders. And the letters were written not just to DirecTV, but a whole host of content providing providers. Companies. And essentially what the letters said is that you, you know, you need to account for the misinformation that you're allowing on your platform from Newsmax, OAN, and Fox. Well, you know, Fox may find themselves in the crosshairs because now it's been two out of three. So, but I agree with you. This is a trend. This is America having fallen over a cliff. And if we're trying to hold on to some branches, we're trying, and there's there's lots of bright spots of good news. But if we continue falling, we're falling right into tyranny. There's no question about it.
Well, so you know, I can show our show, for example, you know, we were kicked off. Now it's been almost a year and a half off of YouTube for talking about masks. Right. The other day we posted, we did a show and we played the Paul Pelosi body cam video. Right. And immediately got a thing from Facebook saying they were eliminating. They pulled it down. Right. And they stopped our live broadcast. We were live streaming on it. And they stopped that because it was graphic. Now, we did 2 days ago a show where we had, it was a police shooting kind of thing, which was way more graphic. And we warn our people, but not a word from Facebook, right? So they clearly targeted the Paul Pelosi body cam video. It's, and I think, like you said, what we've seen from Twitter is that the curtain, what we suspected was happening, we now know for sure is happening. But it's not enough just to know, because as we've seen, DirecTV.
Well, let's play the Lauren Boebert one.
Yes, but let me, James, we're going to play so people can hear what Lauren Boebert had to say about this exact same thing. Thomas, if you could please please play the Boebert sound.
At midnight, Tuesday, January 24th, 2023, Newsmax was removed from DirecTV, DirecTV Stream, and UVerse, denying 13 million customers this highly rated news channel. This is not the first time that we've seen this, and I'm afraid that it won't be the last time that we are seeing this here in our great country. OAN was deplatformed by DirecTV in April of 2022. So what's next? Fox News? Will the Weather Channel be canceled next if they refuse to bow to the left's altar of climate change? What about the History Channel? We see on a regular basis the left wants to erase history and deny truth. How about TBN? There has definitely been an increase in disdain and intolerance by many liberals for Christian beliefs.
And she kind of goes on, but James, I think she's hitting it on the head, right? We have no reason to believe that DirecTV is going to stop there, do we?
Absolutely. But they're not going to stop. And it's not just DirecTV, of course. Right. We're up against the entire corporate world. And we must, as Americans, we must turn it around. I love Lauren Boebert, and I praise her for carefully drafting that little speech. I mean, it was really well done, because she brought out a couple of other things. You know, where this idea of turning speech under and having it go under the umbrella of disinformation, misinformation, is a way to also censor history and censor religious expression. And it's clear the left has no shame whatsoever in both of those areas. And so absolutely, they will continue to do that. There's history that is factual that is being censored because it's somehow deemed to be intolerant or to be insensitive. It's changing the area that I normally cover. It's changing stories that are told in Hollywood, where Walter Hill is a very famous story director, and he is very respected. He couldn't make a Western, a traditional Western, because they didn't want a Western unless it was woke, and a woke Western's not a Western.
Right.
So he had to go out and seek financing from outside of the United States. This is a guy who's made like 20 films and has a tremendous track record. And so this notion that we're going to reshape people's thoughts is fully embraced by today's Democrat Party, by the Biden administration, and unfortunately by tens of thousands of woke employees in Silicon Valley, Hollywood, newsrooms. And that's why, you know, for example, just a little bit off track, but I want to mention, because I cover Hollywood, I'm an entertainment lawyer. The greatest entertainment company in the world, the most influential, most powerful, is Disney. Yeah. Disney's brand is destroyed. Yeah. And why? Why? Well, it's that ESG I talked about. But it's also the fact that their employees are similar to the employees in all the high-tech companies. They embrace and have been brainwashed into the woke virus, as Elon Musk calls it. And remember, when Elon Musk took over Twitter, he had to fire 80% of the employees. Yes. Well, that's what Bob Iger has to do with Disney.
Right.
The head of Disney, Bob Iger, the former head and now the present head of Bob Iger, totally changed employee policies. And so he started hiring people on their wokeness. And so it wasn't just the people joined and then became woke. He hired specifically more and more woke people. And then when they had the Florida brouhaha, all those employees went to the then head of Disney and said, you know, we're ashamed of you. You should have come after us on the don't say gay bill. So, I think none of this just happens. It comes after a long period of indoctrination.
You're me, but yourself kind of thing.
No, it's true. And it is after our academic institutions were infiltrated. It's after our media has been totally infiltrated. And the brainwashing has been dripping constantly for decades. And so you're right. But I think Iger knows now that if he's going to turn it around, the brand is tarnished and Disney's heading for oblivion. And he's going to have to pull an Elon Musk or Disney's going to die.
He is not the man for that task. I can tell you that.
No, you're right about that. But he's capable of that task. He's actually one of the smartest executives in the business. When you look at his ability, you know, he acquired Marvel, Pixar, Star Wars, and all, you know, basically he acquired all the best franchises in the world and put them under.
And then ran them into the ground like Star
and
Wars.
And ran them into, well, his woke employees.
Well, the ones he hired.
Right. Well, I mean,
right, and Hollywood is run. You know, the Hollywood, whoever's going to turn Disney around has to stand up to the Hollywood community. So, yeah, my choice to run Disney would be Mike Lindell.
Yeah, you know, excellent choice.
It'd probably be more entertaining. Well, and you know, James, what's also disturbing about this is, I think, you know, as conservatives, we know, because if you're one of the 13 million people who was watching Newsmax on DirecTV, now all of a sudden you can't, so you're aware. But there are so many people I run into who aren't particularly political, who don't understand this is going on. I mean, you look at like the Hamilton 68 thing, which we just learned, which was, I mean, there is no shame. It was supposed to be like a dashboard where you could go to get disinformation. And they just lied and called every conservative a Russian bot, right? And we see now.
And then intimidated even the woke people at Twitter not to reveal it.
And then the guy who did this story with the Columbia Journalism Review, kind of talking about how the press, you know, colluded to destroy Trump. No one's covering that. I mean, and that's the other concern I have is it's people, I think, conservatives are well aware of this anymore. But I just, how do we make sure, because I think the average person would be opposed to this if they understood it was going on. But I just don't think enough people know. What do you think?
No, the so-called normies are walking around in a daze.
Yes.
But, you know, we've seen miracles. So, you know what I mean? I'm a spiritual person. I believe we're in a spiritual battle, and I believe our prayers are making a difference. Elon Musk's a miracle. What he did at Twitter is a freaking miracle. What has happened and just recently, we've seen a bunch of amazing things happen in our judicial system. We praise God and thank him for the jury system where Mike Houck, pro-lifer who had his house raided last September, was acquitted by a D.C. jury.
Right.
You realize that is a absolute miracle. This father of seven, justice was done. But nobody was betting that would happen. No one. Everyone.
No, it is interesting because I had a sister-in-law who was a judge in the District of Columbia.
You mean a brother-in-law?
No, it's a sister-in-law.
Okay. I'm sorry.
And she said the one thing about D.C. juries, well, in most courts, 90-95% convictions. In D.C., it's only like 45 or 42. Because they don't like or believe in the government, so he might have caught some of those people who were they expect him because he's white and religious and all that. They're going to turn on him, but the minute went, wait a minute, these are the same ones that keep on dragging in the beat up suspects and stuff. No,
you never know. Hey,
well
James, listen.
Even the judge in that case thought it shouldn't have been brought. You know, and he asked the prosecutors, I mean, don't you think you've stretched? It's called the face statute that they use.
I mean,
this guy, this was a serious case. He could have gotten 11 years in prison.
Yes,
this
sure.
father of seven, religious pro-life guy. I mean, but it's possible. You never know. But actually, the jury system, as ugly as it may be, is the best in the world. And jurors take their job very seriously. And African Americans in D.C., they distrust, you're right. They have an inherent distrust of prosecution and sympathy for the pro-life cause.
This
is a guy who was a volunteer. He prayed the rosary in front of abortion clinics and took the abuse. And I think a lot of the D.C., people, I don't know who the defense lawyer was, but I think probably it was
the Alliance for Defending Freedom. It's a nonprofit that we've had on various times. The one thing he's lucky is he got a decent judge. A lot of the judges for the January 6th defendants really prevent any kind of defense being held. Here, he at least got a fair trial and is lucky to get a good verdict.
Well, I say he's blessed.
That's a better word.
Dave says, expect miracles. So you're right. So, hey, listen, I know you'll have to go.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for your time. Where can people find out Newsmax? They can still read you on Newsmax. They just can't watch you on DirecTV. But where can people find you?
Yeah, they can find me at newsmax.com. And also, I have a website, James Herson, HIRSEN.com. And I'm on Twitter, The Jim Jams is my handle.
All right. Great. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
We appreciate it. Have a great night.
Thanks for having me. You have a great day. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. James Herzen. Yeah, I mean, it is funny. I was having a conversation with somebody today who was talking about podcasts and various platforms. And I was saying, and this is a non-political person, and I was saying, you got to be careful. And he's like, really? They censored you? YouTube, you don't? I'm like, yeah. Let me read this real quick. Some of the comments from Leo. DirecTV, that same company that has in the past emailed their employees that if a snowstorm would keep them from work, they should pay for a nearby hotel themselves. There you go. Then also from Leo, Mike Lindell would hire Andrew Dice Clay to be in charge of the creative content at Disney.
Yeah, really.
We're going to have in a couple of minutes. Well, I guess maybe go ahead and if you want to call Dave Williams now. And so Chuck was on this call as a member. So we're talking about this brouhaha that's been brewing. It's not just really in El Paso County. It is everywhere in the country between the grassroots and the establishment.
So wherever the grassroots win, then the establishment tries to get.
Well, they cheat, lie,
and they steal. And then they go to Christy Burton Brown,
who's the Colorado Republican Party chair,
who was elected by the grassroots and betrayed them time and time again. So here they said, we don't want the new election to be run by the present chair.
Because she's grassroots.
But we want it to be by one of your lackeys. And we want another group of commissioners, all of which don't like the El Paso County chair, to check on who should be able to vote and who should be thrown out. And so normally the case, what happens is you're required to first bring it to your local county SEC and then bring it back up. But they have enough time because the election is only in a few days. So instead, they just went right up.
And whining to Christy Burton Brown.
And Christy Burton Brown is required of 1/3, I think, or maybe it's a quarter of the SEC asked for a meeting, but they didn't. So she just said, well, I think it's a good idea anyway. She said, all you people asked for this. And then it turns out her father was one of the complainants who was accused of and shown a video of allegedly beating up a grandmother or tussling or whatever you want to call it. Wonderful guy, wonderful daughter. And so last night was this herky jerky rigged meeting.
Zoom meeting with 8 million people. We've got Dave Williams.
Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Dave Williams, former representative from El Paso County, who helped fight the good fight and is continuing the good fight for the decent people in El Paso County. Great to get you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I got to tell you, there's no better example of Kabuki Theater or Kangaroo Court than what happened last night. If anyone is under the illusion that Christy Burton Brown is a member of the grassroots, last night should dispel any of those myths. She is establishment through and through, and she's worse than that. She's someone who will rig the system and corrupt the process to the point where she'll get the outcome that she so desires. And that's what happened last night.
Well, and so they voted. So folks know. So they voted, they being whoever, all those million people on Zoom, according to Christy Burton Brown.
Well, there were 301 people. It was really close to 500 members, but 301 showed up on the Zoom meeting, but only 160 or so voted.
But they voted though to allow what the Colorado politics is describing as a neutral
group on
the
election,
that's the big problem here that the press is certainly they're going to be lazy about at best.
They're not going to be lazy. No, they're owned by Phil Anschutz. That publication's owned by Phil Anschutz, and the Denver Post hates grassroots. They're not being lazy. No, exactly.
Here's the truth. The state part, and there's a lot of dynamics and components to all this. So I'll break it down, as easy as I can. What happened last night was an attempt by a minority faction within El Paso who lost power, and they're working with Christie to orchestrate a coup in El Paso County because they know they can't win in a fair fight. And so they did two things. They wanted to remove Vicky Tompkins from her duties, which, usurps the will of the voters because the voters put her in office twice. And they wanted to remove certain people that have volunteered for our party and represent precincts you know, which comprise of thousands, tens of thousands of voters across our county. And they did that because they, the establishment and KBB in this case, figured that those people, this segment that we're talking about, would end up voting for Vicky. And so they're the ones rigging the election. They're the ones, you know, engaging in these shenanigans to orchestrate a win for their side when they haven't been able to win, you know, the past two or three times. Right. So that's what it comes down to. And so Christy orchestrated this entire special meeting in violation of the law and in violation of her own rules so that they could dump Vicky and dump voters and disenfranchise fellow Republicans.
My favorite part of the meeting, and there were lots of favorite parts, was when she said, "Now I hope everybody will respect the process. This crooked, corrupt process. I hope you all are gonna, you know, either way, I'm fine." Yeah, because if she loses, she can't do anything about it. But if she wins, she can stomp on people. I mean, she is the worst, and I mean the worst party chair in Colorado history. I mean, she's
that
so sleazy.
That I don't disagree with, Chuck. I mean, the results of the election speak for themselves, which would, you know, make that the case just from an objective standpoint. But in terms of actually trying to bring the party together and build it to make it stronger, she's done the exact opposite of that.
Yes.
She just, last night, what she did was she lit a match and threw it on a powder keg. And she has turned, you know, a deep divide in El Paso into a hot, open, you know, civil war. That is not going to go away. You know, her nonsense about, "I hope people respect this," is laughable at best. It's not going to happen. The party is imploding right in front of us, and she is helping to destroy what's left of our Colorado Republican Party.
Let me ask you this.
I want to put it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, is she doing that, do you think, because they realize the grassroots is winning? And that they would rather blow up the party than let somebody else be in power.
I think she sold her soul because she figures that the establishment has more resources or more political influence that would somehow down the road, you know, whether it's in short term or long term, benefit her personally. And I think that's where she's at. You'd have to ultimately ask her why she's screwing over the people she claims that, you know, she came from. But ultimately, I think it, you know, always comes, in my experience in the legislature, is it always comes down to power and money. If you can reason why these people do these things, it usually comes down to one of those two motivations.
Let me point out one other thing. I mean, you are a very strong supporter of KBB.
As were we initially.
Well, Steve was a lot, I mean, Dave was a lot more. He was a strong advocate for and really helped her win the position. Would that be accurate, Dave?
No, it's not. It's not inaccurate. I mean, I did support Christy, and, you know, I unfortunately told people that I thought she'd do a good job, and, you know, she proved me wrong. But, you know, that's a mistake that I'm happy to own and tell people that we don't got to live with it. We don't have to take her crap. We don't have to take her dishonesty or corruption. We can clean up this town, so to speak. But it starts with, you know, throwing her out, which thank God she's not running again for re-election. Because if she was, I'd be one of the first people making sure she was thrown out of office. But, you know, we need to be able to right that wrong. And I think a lot of us made a mistake, and I did make a mistake. And, you know, my hope is
that... Well, but the only choice really was, I mean, Casper. Scott Gessler, everybody thought, well, we know he's an establishment hack. And it turns out he would have been a far better, even as an establishment hack. At least you'd know what you get, and rather than being betrayed and shot down. I mean, she appointed you to the executive committee, which... So she thought she could con you pretty well. And she certainly destroyed any chance she has in the future for any political influence outside of the limited establishment circle, but maybe that's all that matters. And we're talking with Dave Williams, the representative from El Paso County.
I mean, it, it, de- It depends on what she has in mind. I mean, she right. lives in Ken Buck's, I think, congressional district, so maybe she's just biding her time, or, you know, maybe she'll run for some other political office. Who knows?
Yeah,
you know, it could be that, or she could be just hoping for a cushy job like some of the other sellout, you know, folks in her
right.
party.
Sure she is.
Yeah, and
not
both,
even worrying about
right?
it.
Need a cushy job until you can run for Ken Buck's position. Well, what about this? So there was one hope. Well, hope is probably too strong of a word, but the vote was probably closer for, you know, to steal the party and do this coup was closer, I bet, than she thought it was going to be. Do you think?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm not even sure these results are legitimate, given the fact that we had 301 people credential in, but only 262 odd some votes that were, you know, tabulated together. So that, you know, my math is there's about 40 ballots potentially that were not tabulated, or at least not turned in. And I do know from the chat box in the Zoom meeting, you had a ton of people, including elected officials, saying they never received a ballot, you know, so
yeah.
that they could vote. And I think what's troubling to me on all this is, one, we had a huge segment of the population who could vote at that meeting. They didn't get to vote. And then number two, Christie, because she was the chair, you know, put in place this arbitrary, you know, time for ballots to be, for ballots to be cast. So,
well, Kevin Lundberg said it beautifully.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Kevin Lundberg said it's right. OCA, we're going to have a trial. You vote to have 15 minutes to present your case, and now we'll have a vote. And by the way, the defense can't really present anything because I'm prohibiting it.
So you don't really get 15
minutes. Yeah, I think your viewers should understand sort of that process, right? It's not just the fact that there's, you know, for some reason 301 people tuned into the meeting, but they decided not all of them decided to vote. That's a question mark that we need to look at. Number one. But number two, you know, the process itself, where Christie is deliberately putting her thumb on the scale, where her dad is a party to the complaint, right? Where she's, before the meeting starts, right, she's outlining how there's been, quote, misinformation out there, effectively helping the complainants,
right,
make their case. And then she's cutting people off, and she's,
right.
you know, doing everything she can to ignore procedural legitimate,
right.
you know, questions that were brought before the committee, even to the point where her so-called neutral, you know, parliamentarian is, you know, helping her figure out ways to get around the procedural objections
right.
this entire
right.
meeting. I mean, we had a point in the meeting where Kevin Lundberg, former Senator Kevin Lundberg, said we should adjourn. I move to adjourn. And, you know, Christie actually held the vote properly, but she couldn't discern whether or not, you know, which side won, which I don't, that's what she claimed. I think our side actually did win.
Right.
And, you know, she decided, well, I better figure something else out. And then she comes back and says, well, you know what, upon reading the rules, we can't adjourn. we can't.
Oh, so it takes a two-thirds
vote. We're all forced to stay here.
Oh, yeah, it takes a two-thirds
vote. Stay here until you guys vote the way I want. That's what she pursued, and that's what she did. I mean, the whole thing was a travesty. And then you add in the fact that each side was only given, 15 minutes to make their case, and another 15 minutes, you know, for 300 people to debate on the issue. It was clear from the start.
She could call whoever she wanted to call.
And we couldn't. And this is why it's so important to have in-person meetings, because
right.
it's harder for the chair to ignore objections
yes.
in that format. As
yeah, if you could just mute everybody. Well, I mean, again, so people understand. So what happened here was the establishment in El Paso County didn't like the fact that the grassroots, there were more grassroots people than there were establishment people. So any election of party leadership was going to end up reelecting Vicky Tompkins or a grassroots person. So knowing they couldn't win, they go whining to their corrupt partner, Christy Burton Brown, and say, we need to basically just take the power away from those people.
And we got to be able to throw out her. PCPs who worked hard.
Anybody who
don't like
faster, which we can get rid of them.
Yeah.
And Chrissy said, okay. And they did. But the thing is and they didn't do it. It wasn't like this was like out of the 300 people who were there, you know, 299 said, yeah, this is really a problem. We got to get rid of it. It was really almost, it was pretty split. And she still said, yay, okay. So, I mean, there were a lot of people, it seemed to me, that had a lot of questions and concerns about the way this is being handled. And she just didn't care. It's like, they're like, okay, good. My friends, the rhinos, are in charge of El Paso County now. And don't you any other little pesky grassroots get any ideas in your county? I mean, that's the message I think she's sending.
Well, I really want to nail down on this, right? I'm not convinced that we necessarily lost, quote, the vote, because when people were not given the ability to vote, and you have 40 potential outstanding ballots, maybe it's even less, but still you have outstanding ballots. You know, what is the actual result? I mean, yeah, I suppose at a certain point the chair could, you know, cut off, you know, the vote, and the results are the results at that point. But you had 301 people show up and only 262 ballots cast. Now, you might be able to argue some of that, but you're not going to be able to argue all of it. But here's another way to look at it. There are 491 members of the State Central Committee. Of that, only 301 people supposedly credentialed in, and of that, only 262 people voted, and of that, only 139 people voted yes, and 123.8 voted no. So what you're telling me, in other words, is about a quarter of the party voted to violate the law and interfere in an internal county party conflict. That's not a way to resolve any of this. They do not have a mandate. They do not have the authority to do what they do, and they certainly don't have the support from the party to actually do what they're going to do. This is a farce from the beginning, and this is exactly why we're going to court.
Let's bring that up, Representative Williams. What is the good news, or at least the potentially good news?
We're going to court. We filed suit in Arapahoe County District Court, and we're hoping that an impartial judge will be appointed to adjudicate this case. And that, at the very least, we figure it will be more impartial than Christie, because, you know, Christie's dad was a party to the conflict. And presumably, whatever judge, you know, hears this, you know, has no connection to the conflict. But at the very least, we'll be able to present, you know, our side of the dispute with clear evidence in a format that has to adhere to some sort of, you know, structure and process. And
well,
let me ask,
he can grant the temporary restraining order. But as I can, you know, as an integral part of the open. Liberating the Republican primaries, you know, we got to federal court. We had a Republican judge, and they threw him overboard and brought in the old decrepit John Cain. To Cain's credit, if the old geezer deserves any, he at least had a fair hearing. He listened to not a thing we said.
He ignored
everything.
We may lose, but at least.
All you can do is try. And I think it's wonderful that the grassroots
fight back, right? I mean, they count on us, you know, not having the resources, not having the time or the energy, and rolling over and playing dead.
And so that would make, you know, because you announced ahead of time that you'd file the lawsuit. I hope everyone respects the process. I love that. It's just so evil. Yeah. It's so sleazy and so awful. And as I understand it, Chris Murray, who had said to me personally, I don't represent the party, I represent Christie. I said, that's interesting. but he got to give his word knocking down the thing, no rebuttal to that. And everything was no rebuttal to it, and it was obscene. But I understand that he talked with the counsel for Vicki and Arabella, said, you guys better watch out, because even if we win, we'll appeal. And you go, ooh, ooh, ooh. How mean. How cool. Well,
and Dave, I think you put a good, one of the key points of this is as the chairperson of the Republican Party, Christie should have been working harder to resolve and unify. They only wanted unity to go one way. And instead, like you said, she poured fuel on this and then lit it and then watched it explode and said, okay, good. My job is done.
What do you think anyone, Dave, and you're down there, anyone on the Vicky side is going to go, oh, okay.
Yeah, we're going to
how can I help the Republican candidates?
Maybe
this,
donate.
Yeah, no, maybe no, but unity was never the goal of Christie. I mean,
she's lying
to you. She's outright being dishonest about her goal. Her goal was to help out, you know, party folks that have run, I shouldn't say just run, but ruined our party for the past, you know, several decades.
Yes.
That was her goal. Her goal was to help out a bunch of old curmudgeon Republican country club types who, promised her something. I don't know what, but they promised her something. And that's where she's at. That's what she did. She is not grassroots. And I'm happy to have this debate with her, in front of her, with everyone. She knows exactly how I feel. And I want your viewers to know how I feel about this. Because ultimately, it's not, you know, it's not about any one single individual. It's about how she's screwing over everyone in the party. And, oh, by the way, setting up a president where all counties are now going to be subjugated to a minority faction of our party and the whims of a chair.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's a good point, too, because this does set a precedent. So if, say, somebody in whatever county decides, those pesky peasants, the grassroots people, there are more of them than there are of us, so we can't win them in a fair election. So we're just going to have, the corrupt chair essentially do a coup, right? Suddenly we're the winners.
But if you had a goal and said, I want to destroy whatever's left of this carcass of a Republican Party, you couldn't have done a better job to destroy its main base, which is El Paso County. El Paso County is in sunders from now on, at least for the foreseeable future. She has destroyed whatever's been part. And I assume, just like every time when they open the primaries, when they limit the fundraising for the party, when they do all those things, they know that and don't care. They've made their peace with Polis and the devil. And
consultants get paid anyway.
Yeah, well, why would you hire a consultant? Because you can't win anyway. So I don't know who's going to be hiring them. Maybe some house district or something.
All I know is that Christie is not a part of the grassroots. There's a lot of things we can point to, but certainly, last night's meeting, proves it. And she did it on behalf of a bunch of old, dying country club Republicans who have ruined our state, who have helped Democrats take it over, and God knows for what reason. It has some sort of personal benefit that she's getting, and I guess I'd encourage anyone that's interested, go follow the money, so to speak.
The only money you have to follow is Phil Anschutz. He supported the party for 25 years. And he controls everything in the state in the Republican Party. He controls Colorado politics. He's Denver Gazette. He controls Independence Institute. He owns Complete Colorado. And people are afraid. It's like Voldemort. I mean, honestly, he's Voldemort. Everybody's terrified.
I think what makes me so animated about all this too is that it's not just about what took place. There's real people that are gonna be harmed by this, and the person in question is Vicky Tompkins. These people have tried their best to, besmirch her and say, make false accusations and claims against her. And it's not right. It's not right, especially for someone like Christie, who parades herself as a fair-minded Christian person who only wants to do right by others, when in fact she's helping people spread false witness against Vicky Tompkins. Vicky's reputation is on the line here, and it just sickens me that someone like Christie, with her phony, facade that she puts on, could go around and do this and get away with it. And we're not going to take it lying down. We're gonna take this to court, and hopefully justice will prevail. But we understand that it may not.
Yeah.
So.
And Dave, we'll let you go. Now, let me ask you this. Do you guys need any help, funding for the lawsuit?
Yeah, absolutely. Every one of your listeners, and we'll get an email out to folks that could be spread around. But every one of your listeners who wants us to take on the establishment, wants us to pursue justice and not let Christy get away with her corruption, go donate to the Republican Party in El Paso County, not the Colorado State Republican Party, or not any other county, but El Paso, because we're dedicating, you know, a good amount of the funds to this legal fight, because we're going to protect, you know, the voters here, and we're going to protect
their will.
At least
until they take it over.
We need your help.
I could see them trying to stop. So keep us posted. I mean, I could see them saying, well, we're the El Paso kind of Republican Party now. So
they're called the Peak Republican.
Oh, that's right.
Which means really the dirtiest, down, lowest human beings that have ever walked this earth.
Listen, keep us posted, please.
Yes, and thanks for all your efforts.
Yeah.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Dave Williams there. Well, and again, I'm shocked that it actually even came to that. I was thinking, oh, they'll never do it, but they did. Basically, the establishment, with the help of the current GOP chair, Christy Burton Brown, just stole the El Paso County Republican Party from the grassroots people who built it, who worked for it, who did everything. And, you know, and if they could do it there, they can do it anywhere. And we see this battle. And so, guys, we so appreciate you listening, and we so appreciate the way all of you, you know, get involved and do things, because we have to. And like you said, we can't give up. And like Dave said, we can't roll over and play dead. So,
and they're not. So that's
no, and they're not. So we'll keep you all posted on what's going on there too. Hey, we want to thank Dave, and we want to thank James Herson. I remember
James was very good.
He's great always. Catch all our shows at chuckandjulie.com. Thank you to the great guys at BBS for running the board and handling everything behind the scenes. And we will see you all on
Party Friday. Okay, here's the tease. Here it comes.
You've all heard about this artificial intelligence ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Well, wait till you see. It was asked to write a poem about Donald Trump and a poem about Joe Biden. You will probably not be surprised at what came out, but it's pretty funny. So that'll be Party Friday.
That'll be part of Party Friday. Well, a lot of other great stuff too. See you then.